This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
And here we are once again for another edition of the Spoiler Room, and I have a couple lovely crew members in the Spoiler Room here today. First off, we have the lovely Andrew Shearer with us tonight. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man, and you know what? Am I going to have a lovely off? Is that what's going to happen here?
We might just have a lovely off between you and the other crew member in the room today, which is the lovely Kate. How are you today, Kate?
I'm good. I'm feeling pretty lovely.
Well, that's good to hear. Very, very lovely Spoiler Room crew here to talk about a very interesting indie film that came across my attention, and I happened to get a chance to watch a screener of this, and then I found out these two fine folks also were interested in watching it, so we figured we'd get together and talk about Felt. Now, Kate, you do it best, so why don't you just give a little summary to our listeners about what Felt is about?
Okay, well, Felt is, it's about a woman, and it's just sort of following her and showing her daily struggles and difficulties that she faces every day that's related to being a woman, and especially in the aftermath of any sort of sexual trauma or, you know, violence or assault. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty much what it's about, but it's more complex.
There's a lot more going on that isn't spelled out either through dialogue or direct conversation or exposition, if you will, which caught me right away. I liked how the film got set up. Let's talk about just that opening scene and how we get just enough information to know about Amy. I mean, you've seen the trailer, so you go into the movie, and then you see this opening few minutes, and we really get an impression really quick of kind of what's happened to Amy and what type of person she is. Wouldn't you say, Andrew, that that's kind of subtly portrayed in not words but through imagery?
Yeah, I mean, this movie is you know, I put it in the rape revenge genre, obviously, but it's not a by the number genre picture at all. You know, that's a favorite category of movie of mine as a feminist, just because I love to see empowerment, especially power taken back after a violent incident, and you know, the power that is taken away from someone by something like that that happens to them. But it does. You know, there's been a lot of movies recently that have kind of turned that concept inside out, be it Almodovar's The Skin I Live In,
right?
Which kind of deconstructed that, and then Disney's Maleficent, which happens to also been the first podcast that Kate and I ever did together, which is also, you know, even though it's not necessarily rape, it is another kind of violence that happens, and then a revenge story. But people looking that are used to, like, the exploitation style, the way these kind of things happen, you don't see what happens. It doesn't open with the incident. Amy doesn't start as the, you know, the person that's violence is not part of her life. It doesn't even tell you specifically what happened to her. It goes right into the headspace of someone that is trying to regain their humanity and their place in life and their ability to just exist and be around other people and process that. Because she's in this state that's neither asleep or awake. It's incredible.
She's definitely in her own little world, and we get that right away by just seeing her room. Kate, what did you think about it? Do you think by just showing her room, you get a good impression, showing you kind of what our room, you know, bedrooms are a part of our identity?
I think in general, yes. And I think in this case, you get kind of, at least for me, I kind of got a sense of her in a way, but also how whatever may have happened to her has affected that, mm-hmm. changed that, and influenced it. You can see that she's really creative and artistic and likes to create things. But then you also see, you know, details of things that she's made that sort of speak to maybe something that's further below the surface observation of her creativity.
Well, because what her behavior, right away, we get the behavior of her that it's outside of, and this is bad to put it, but I'm not sure how else to put it, but outside of the norm of what culture may expect a woman's bedroom to look like, even an artistic one. The expectations of what what society might consider as normal and what she's got, because I mean she's got, I mean, you know, sex toys out, very some phallic imagery just out in her room, out in the open, as well as some other imagery that I think maybe go against what is normally expected of a female's room, if I'm explaining that right. I hope I am. I'm not. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to get at with, or what I'm trying to go for is her room is not a normal girl's room, basically.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, it's like it's interesting because like you see like on just on a like a surface level, you know, if you weren't like really looking at it, mm-hmm. and if you just sort of maybe passed by it in a doorway, it wouldn't necessarily like jump out at you. All the like really kind of disturbing details that are on this stuff, but just you know, but that's the thing though. The camera really brings you in and shows you that, you know, like the doll, those gnarly teeth that it has, you know. And from mm-hmm. I guess from my understanding, Amy Everson, the woman who wrote the movie and who plays the character Amy, this is all her actual art, right? Like this is what she does in yeah. real life.
Well, because it's because she's based this off of similar real life experiences, didn't she? I thought I read that somewhere that this script was kind of her expression of some things that actually happened to her in real life.
I mean, it has to be. It's way too personalized. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's way too specific. It's you know the way that great indie stuff and great underground stuff is. You know, they don't have to worry about you know, trying to appeal to other like a mass audience and trying to get them to really kind of understand and you know what I mean, feel a sense of community around it or feel a sense of like relating to it. You know, instead, Amy is just relating this experience through her own medium. You know, through a very unconventional means through film.
Well, and you do get the impression she's not even comfortable in her own skin right off the bat.
No.
Right? Because she hops into a costume and starts walking down the street, the frog costume, yeah. Which is a precursor to the costumes that she makes kind of later on.
Awesome.
Let's talk about those costumes. Now, in the trailer, you see the one costume, the male costume, which I wanted to get both your impressions on what, you know, what that kind of meant. You know, here she is, for everybody, this is the spoiler room, so she basically has, one of the costumes she makes later on is what she describes as kind of her alter ego, a male costume that is anatomically correct. And it was strange, I thought it was strange to me, or unusual to me, and I guess this was kind of why I wanted to have this discussion, is what why she would have dressed up as something that appears had really hurt her and abused her and affected her when she was younger or even recently. Why would she dress up as that? Would you say, Kate, maybe explain to me a little bit? Because it kind of caught me off guard that she would want to dress as something that was bad to her.
Yeah, I mean, what I got from it was sort of like... I don't know, sort of an exploration of the power dynamics that she has to deal with, that we have to go through
sure.
you know, every day between the two genders. It kind of an exploration of that and sort of trying to deconstruct it. But it also, to me, kind of said something about how really it's just a surface thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your gender. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be the way that it is. It's just the way that we're making it be. It's just the way that our culture has, you know, changed,
right.
you know?
Yeah, and I mean, isn't it safer to be a man? You know, isn't it safer to be a male, apparently?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't it be interesting to kind of at least kind of walk around in that as though if like, a you know, say that you're on a bicycle and you wrecked and you hurt your head, well, I'm going to go buy a helmet. You know, mm-hmm. it was like a way to sort of just like, all right, well, let me... Since obviously it is not safe to me to exist as a woman, let me exist as a male, or at least experience what it's like to walk down the street and feel that security, obviously, that I do not feel in my own flesh, and it just kind of like exposed as myself. You know, there's a I read a little bit of that in there too.
Yeah, I did too. That mm-hmm. Yeah, that pretty much nailed it, I think.
She was trying to get a kind of an understanding of basically the opposite sex by walking around in their shoes, kind of.
Or just because it had been such a horrible experience, you know, being a female.
Right.
So why not get the armor on? You know, why not wear the crash helmet?
And it does give the impression of armor now that you mention it, because we get that scene earlier where she actually shows up to a quote-unquote photo shoot, which ends up being an adult shoot, mm-hmm. and she comes out, even though she's female, she comes out in a female costume. And that I did not expect.
I love that scene, man. I rewatched the movie like a couple of times, and that point was where the movie, like, you know, it does get you kind of like, you do have to swim around in that feeling of helplessness and insecurity. For the beginning of it, to really kind of put you where Amy's at, the headspace that she's at. This was the last place I thought I'd see her, and this is the last thing I thought I would see her doing.
But she was doing it, but I think partly why she was able to do it was because she was wearing her female costume outside of her own female self.
Yeah.
Which really shows she just was not comfortable within her own skin at all. She needed something else to separate her from the rest of the world, and that struck me, and that is kind of the turning point, because before that you are kind of seeing the contrast between her and, again, for lack of a better term, but culturally standard normal female portrayal.
Yeah,
I hope I'm not being insulting at all, but you know what I'm saying. Within film, you usually get a certain portrayal of female characters, unfortunately, and you get that in here amongst her friends, and she is definitely different than her friends, especially when she tries to go on that double date. What'd you think, Kate? That was about the most awkward double date.
I knew that I would relate to this in certain ways, and just the frustrations before I saw it, and then when it got to this point, I was just like, oh my God, she, like, I get that, you know, mm-hmm. where you're just, I mean, I haven't been on a date in a very long time, but when you just, like, see a guy trying to impress a girl and he's just being a total jerk and he's just being just like those guys in that movie, and you just want to, at least I've seen it happen where you just want to, like, go in and just, like, needle him and like that. Like, I know that doesn't sound very nice, but you just reach that point where you see things like that happening and you're just like, I can't. And then it was a breaking point. It was like, you know, this is ridiculous. And especially the next scene, mm-hmm. when she like starts to get into a fight with him because he's like really mistreating her friend.
Yeah, that part was interesting with that, of how she stood up to the abusive boyfriend more so than her friend did. And she's not even involved in the relationship at all, and you could tell she didn't quite like him, but she stood up to him. But all the guys in here, I'm not sure. Andrew, did you feel that they were maybe a little bit exaggerated to the way guys are, or do you think they were trying to go for the most realistic portrayal of the way guys are? I felt like they were kind of trying to represent the different types of guys in this film more so than just, say, regular average Joe.
Well, I mean, I've been around those dudes. I mean, I mm-hmm. thankfully, no, I'm not friends with anyone like that, but like sure. Kate says, very relatable, and it's, you know, who's not been around a situation where you see someone act like that, you know, and I, if anything, she was, as a writer, being kind to these people, because she didn't paint them as just out-and-out ignorant monsters, which, unfortunately, a lot of them really kind of are. And I thought that, you know, it just goes to show that, like, you know, she is coming from kind of an unsafe place and trying to jump back into things. And you see right away, like, like how hard that's going to be, especially around people like that.
Sure.
I mean, it is amazing to me that she would even end up in a situation like that, because if you remember earlier in the movie, she's just in bed. She her friend has to like get her out of there to go on that date, mm-hmm. you know, because she doesn't even want to be part of the world at all. And look, when she goes into it, what she gets, you know? I mean, I don't know how she didn't like run away. You know what right. I mean? But it is a movie about, you know, regaining a foothold as a person once mm-hmm. something like that has happened to you. But as far as, yeah, those guys, it was so realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say an exaggeration at all. In fact, she was a little nicer to a couple of them than she really should have been, I think, like as a writer, you know?
Sure, sure.
I actually agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of going out on weekends and having to prepare yourself to be just...
It's so bad.
Super
it's
uncomfortable to the point where I think I'm about to hit somebody. You know, it's like I was watching that and I'm like, wow, this is pretty, like, this is pretty spot on.
Yeah, well, I work in a college town.
Not everybody, but, you know, oh, yeah, I'm sure in a college town it's, like, crazy.
Oh, my God, you can't, sometimes I don't even get out of my car yet and it's happening.
Sure.
You know? It's just, yeah, it is amazing.
I've kind of seen it, too, when I was a younger pup in college, and you'd go to the bar and you'd notice it really quick. It was, you'd go to those certain dance clubs or whatnot where all the women are dancing out on the floor, and the guys are all just sitting around with their drinks, like
watching,
like, you know, like, who should I try to, or who's worthy or whatnot. And you get those guys in this that
yeah. it's so gross. It's a freaking wasteland, you know.
Yeah. It is. It's horrible that, you know, they're out. If they go out there and dance or something, they're there, but they're not. Most of the guys, they just circle around or sit there and watch, and there is a portrayal of that here. And so now that you guys mention it, yeah, but I wanted to see if you guys thought it was more exaggerated or if it was kind of spot on realistic here.
Yeah, which it's either, I would say, yeah, either exact, like painfully accurate, or maybe a little bit kinder to them as characters than
sure.
the real thing, because you don't want to see them die immediately.
Right.
And in real life, sometimes that's not the case, I have to admit.
But the way they set her character up, you're almost expecting it. I mean, that was one of the things that I found interesting, too, was that, I mean, this is a different type of... It's put in the horror genre, and I can see why, but it's a different type of horror. I mentioned it in my review that there's the entertainment horror, and then there's the horror that's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable and make you think, and that's what I think this is, because it's showing real-life horror versus a phantom whatever pursuing people and killing them. Wouldn't you say that this is kind of real life horror?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think this is an indicative of kind of like with It Follows, man. This is not like horror for the mass horror audience or even like mm-hmm. the trained horror audience. And I mean, like, there are certain things they just expect to see happen, you know, or certain things they watch a movie going, okay, when's something going to happen? Like, that mentality is not the brain you need to be, you know, going in with when you watch a movie like Felt. Felt is indicative of the digital generation, whereas any artist can stick a foot in the medium of cinema and make their print in it, and it's unique, and it doesn't need to do all the things that movies always do. And what I love about Felt is that it takes away that safety net of the fast editing, of the, you know, of the music stings, of the jump scares, of the structure. All of that makes horror fans in particular feel nice and comfy. And like, yeah, I'm about to watch a horror movie. And when it doesn't give them those things, instead of going like, dude, that blew me away, they get mad at it.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a lot of reviews that have been mad at it.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you know, before the internet age, before the digital technology, unfortunately a movie like this might not exist, but even if it did, say if these guys had shot this on film, the audience that would react to it like that would have never found it. They would have never seen it. It would not have popped up on their radar, you know?
Yeah, it wouldn't. It definitely wouldn't. And in fact, I caught it because I follow a lot of indie trailers of that, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh, this one really looks like it's different, like it's out there. And you know, I'm always looking for different films. I may not always care for them the best, but I always give respect to those trying to do something different, trying to portray something different, break out those tropes, you know, break away from those tropes. And they definitely do this, especially with that character, Amy. I mean, let's face it, we're in the 21st century, and I think especially our country, the U.S., is very hung up on sex, very conservative, and the imagery in here alone is probably going to piss off a lot of people or make them feel uncomfortable because that is the culture we have. I mean, she's got, you know, dildos and phallic symbols throughout this film that many people, right off the bat, they aren't even going to think about what the film's going on. That might, you know, trigger them being angry. You know, throughout the film, you get that kind of shocking imagery. And I don't think it was put in there for shock value, but wouldn't you say that that may turn a number of people off to the film right away and they might just focus on that?
Yes, and I think that it's funny because it's also the same people that would probably do some of the ridiculous Neanderthal-esque things that the men in the movies are doing, which is like, why is that any worse than a man suit with a fake penis on it, you know?
Well, you know, and plus also it's a tried and true element of the rape revenge movie to cut off some dicks, to chop the penises off, to get some castration going. It's not like guys haven't seen that once in a while, but there's this whole kind of thing going on culturally, particularly with any kind of like what they feel is like an attack on masculinity, or you know what I'm saying, or a discrimination against the male, or the, you know what I'm saying, like they feel as though they've been attacked. But just like anything, it's a counterattack. If you feel like, you know what I'm saying, if you feel like your reign of terror is being jeopardized, it's because it is to counter you. It's to counter all of that stuff. I think Amy is she's working towards some really, really strong progress for female expression in this genre, or you know, in cinema itself. You know, she's part of a great movement that's happening. I, for one, am happy for, because you know, growing up as a guy watching horror movies, you get older and you get kind of sick of it. You know, it's always fun to watch Friday the 13th and stuff like that, but you know, that is not, you know, you get a brain in your head and a heart in your chest, and things should change for you. You shouldn't still watch every movie like a 12-year-old's horror fan's brain.
Well, some of us still have some of that 12-year-old brain occasionally, but not always.
You know, you wouldn't watch film with that.
But,
you know.
But no, I didn't, and it all depends on the movie I'm watching as far as, you know, what type of movie I think I'm going into. And one thing that this film really does is get you in touch with the Amy character that a lot of films, I think, you know, who try to do this don't do too well in that. You're never really leave Amy. You're always with her, you know, and for me, that always kept you in touch, and you didn't want anything bad to happen to her, did you? I mean, she meets this guy who, you know, in all honesty, I'm surprised he still talked to her after her and her new female friend she got after the photo shoot basically abandoned the guy in this, you know, the road, just in, you know, leave him there. And yeah. He still starts talking to her, and they start developing a relationship. And I think, wouldn't you say the setup of the film in the beginning of introducing her, plus that you never leave her side, you knew something bad was coming, but you didn't want to see it with this film. At least that's the way I felt about it. But you saw it coming, didn't you, with her character, because you knew it couldn't be good for her forever, because that's, you know, the way life isn't always for people. But you wanted it to be good for her, didn't you? You wanted this guy to be a nice guy?
I did, and I honestly, I didn't think about, I don't know, I didn't really have any predictions as to what would happen. Mm-hmm. Just because I was hopeful that something good would happen, because I felt so terrible for her. Yeah, I mean, I guess as it started to kind of show that it was not good, I just thought, oh, God, no. Like, I was just like, not, just let, you know, let something work and, you know. I was, yeah.
Have something good happen to her for once, but I guess for me, I was waiting for that shoe to drop because I'm like, this guy is being too good to her, and I guess that's my cynicism and at work, and the fact of the other guys that they put, you know, up in this film. This guy, I guess I was just kind of waiting for him to disappoint her. What about you, Andrew? Did you kind of see the disappointment coming, or were you hopeful that this guy was different?
No, I didn't like him, and yeah. I thought the movie did something really amazing that I can't really tell you I've ever seen a movie do before addressing this issue. And one of the many things that it does that just kind of really, really impressed me and blew me away that it does so simply and so effortlessly is that it portrays how you just freaking can't trust anyone and feel safe with anyone no matter what happens, no matter what they do. It's not about them. And, you know, that I never felt that she was safe around this guy. I never felt that he was genuine. It wasn't a matter of waiting for something to happen. Something was already happening by him even being there, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, a lot of movies will, you know, be about this guy getting involved with this crazy girl and all these different things he puts up with because he believes in her and he knows he can make it work. Ah, puke. Hate that. Fuck you. I loved it that she left him on the side of the road. That was great. I mean, that is revenge done in a way that is so unusual, but yet it's just, and life is more like that. I don't ever like, as much as like I spit on your grave, I never liked quite how she went about getting her revenge, you know? Mm-hmm. It's either like they become this tough, masculine sort of, you know, put out, you know, like in Miss 45, she gets the gun and all that stuff, and Thriller, Cruel Picture, same way. And I Spit on Your Grave, she becomes super sexual and kind of lets, you know, ensnares them like the Black Widow spider, you know. But Amy doesn't play any of those games. She just simply is not in a safe place, but she refuses to just to not exist and to not take up space and to not make noise. It's great. It's like really perfect the way that happens. Yeah, I couldn't stand that guy. I didn't want her around him. I didn't feel good. And the movie made you, yeah, it made you not feel right. It was great how it did that.
Yeah, in the very beginning when he came up to them in the bar, and I was kind of like, oh God, not, like, come on, shut up. And then as they started to kind of talk more, and he seemed to kind of, you know, he didn't think that she was weird or get frustrated with her, I thought, like, this guy might be okay. But I wasn't too surprised when he turned out not to be.
Mm-hmm. I hate that nice guy shit. You know what I mean? Because yeah. There's these expectations that go along with it. A lot has been blogged about this over the years. But yeah, you know, just one of those, you could tell he just thinks he's so, like, he thinks he's good. And by being good, he deserves, you know what I'm saying? Like, good things should come to him. No, you should be murdered.
Yeah.
Am I wrong for thinking that?
I mean, when they left him out on the road, I was like, yeah, they're doing that.
That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was great. It was, and I didn't feel the least bit bad for him because he shouldn't have been there. Stop trying to be that guy. Nice guy. You know what I mean?
Being like, here, do you need a jacket? Like, no, I don't need your fucking jacket. Like,
shut up. Mark, you see what we mean, man? I mean, it's like, it
I'd forgotten that I really didn't like him in the beginning. I told
him. Oh, man.
He sucked.
I didn't feel good. He sucked. Forget it.
I never had a really good vibe about the guy either. Like I said, I was just waiting for the reveal of how he was going to hurt her, even though they were trying to play him off as the nice guy.
Yeah, you want Amy to survive. Mm-hmm. She did survive. She's not a victim because she didn't die. But, you know, you want her to get things kind of figured out to where she doesn't feel like she's this, you know, walking ghost. You know, that's what you want. You don't, and that doesn't, a man doesn't need to come in there and do that.
Right.
Yeah, and well, I liked how they did have her female friends to try to at least show they somewhat understand their unusual friend Amy. You know, they felt genuine, I think. Yeah. Most of them felt more genuine than the guy did.
Yeah, no, they gave dimension to those characters, you know, a bit more of a, you know, a bit more kind of relatability with them, you know. And I liked sort of the kind of playfulness that they had, you know, because like Amy's, she's going to be tough to deal with, you know. And yeah. I think we've kind of all had that friend that went through that sort of trauma, you know, be it, you know, disease or violence or loss or whatever. And it's just like, it is, you know, it is somebody in a very vulnerable position, and it's a very delicate thing to kind of have to handle. Mm-hmm. And it's not for everyone to come in and necessarily save, you know, just kind of exist with them, exist alongside them and deal with the whatever's getting ready to happen, you know?
Yeah. You have to just go along with them. And
it's not it's not a rescue situation. It's just mm-hmm. to coexist, to remind you that you're not by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she actually ends up being, even without her masculine costume or whatever, I found it interesting that here they kind of portray her as kind of the mousy, you know, kind of separated from everybody else type of character. Yet she's still, even in when we see her in the beginning, she's the strongest female character out of all the females in this movie, at least the feeling that I got with it, because, I mean, she speaks her mind, she says what, you know, stands up to the guys. I mean, did you get that feeling, too, that even though she was kind of portrayed as, you know, something, you know, kind of away from society or normalcy or what people can perceive as normal, yet she still is the strongest character, though they might not physically, the way she's portrayed, might not be the strongest character, or am I off on that?
I think that, I mean, I noticed that, you know, she wasn't concerned with looking weird or being strange, you know, with, you know, her costumes and all of that. And I thought that was kind of important to show, because it just goes to show that kind of daily frustration and unacceptable behavior that you have to deal with is not only for people who or a certain type of person, or, you know, a certain type of woman who looks a certain way or acts a certain way, that it's like, it's all over, it's everyone. And I liked that they showed that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of important.
Yeah, I felt like Amy, she was down, but she was never out, and mm-hmm. her anger was complicated. I really liked, it just really, I've never quite seen it happen before. You know, it gives you a lot to think about, because something we didn't mention about Feld is that there's a lot of air in the movie. There's a lot of mm-hmm. space that not everything is laid out for you. You're left to kind of decide how you feel, or whether or not you relate to Amy at all, or whether or not you're kind of on the inside or the outside, you know, going along. But even as kind of an observer, keep in mind this is a vehicle for a visual artist. You know, there's a lot, and film, despite what people will tell you that don't get it, it's still a visual medium, you know, mm-hmm. it's still an art form. And I love it when artists mess around with it and get their hands in it, because, you know, when you're not in the necessary, like, the commercial part of filmmaking, all bets are off, and horror fans should be excited by that.
Oh, I agree. Definitely with this and the imagery, and with her, I kind of equated her a little bit, not the uneasiness I felt with her character constantly was a little bit Norman Bates-ish in that, you know, that she's going through, you know, the normal motions and everything, but you can tell underneath there's something bubbling underneath, and with her, like you mentioned, with her rage, even throughout the entire film, we don't see it truly come to surface till the very end. But it always felt, I was just always waiting for that trigger factor for her to finally, you know, just go off. And we don't really get that, where you would possibly get that in a normal trope for a film, you know, where she would have, maybe they may would have pulled the trigger a little bit earlier with her aggression. But what'd you think about them kind of just holding off until those last few minutes of this film, because it is a spoiler room, of her actually really showing her anger in full force with the film? Do you think that helped keep that uneasiness for the viewer? Or, you know, what'd you think of how they handled that?
I think that it just showed, you know, putting up with something until you just can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, to me, it was someone who's just had it, who's just done. No matter how hard you tried, you just can't take it anymore. And you're pushed over the edge many, many times. And yeah, that's what I thought it did. And I thought that it, yeah, that's what I feel about that.
Andrew, what about you with them not having her really go off till the very end? Did you kind of expect it sooner, following, you know, what our normal tropes and films would have shown?
Yeah, it would have pissed me off if that would have happened, because, you know, another thing, another comfort zone for horror fans is this kind of like really archaic sense of morality that a lot of the movies have, whereas in, you know, they've got to punish the amoral person. You know, either they've got this kind of cartoon monster that gets away because, you know, it's your Freddy or your Devil's Reject or whoever, you know. But eventually they do want to, like, punish the person for doing the bad things, like punish the bad guy. But the thing is that Amy's not the bad guy. And what Right. she's doing, killing this guy, that is exactly the kind of payoff that you should have for this character, but it's not the kind of payoff that people normally expect. You're right. That would have happened earlier, and then Amy pays for having killed the nice guy. But in Felt, that guy's not a nice guy. Who says he's a nice guy? He says he's a nice guy. You know? That's not the moral code of this movie, because it's not about that at all. You know, it's about this one person's journey to get her power back, because I can only assume that she has been sexually assaulted, and that takes all of that away from her. And what we didn't mention is what she does with this guy when she gets into the woods. She's got another suit.
Actually, that was actually where I was going next with this.
You can go ahead.
We definitely want to go there, because you mentioned about her trying to get her power back.
Yes.
And here we find out Mr. Nice Guy wasn't so nice guy, and they go out into the woods. And not only does she show her alter ego, or her masculine suit, or herself in the masculine suit, but she, if I pronounce this right, I'm horrible with words, my wife tells me all the time, emasculates him, basically, by putting him in the female outfit. And how do you think about that? Did it seem a little odd that he voluntarily got into the suit?
I would think so, but he seemed just kind of nervous, you know, and afraid, and like he still wanted to be the nice guy. It seemed like he still wanted to be the nice guy. So he's like, okay.
Yeah, look how crazy I'm letting you be.
Yeah, right? Like,
look
all
how
right.
How okay I am with you.
Right? Even though I'm a dick, okay. You're weird, and I'll get in your suit because I'm nice. No.
Well, and then she doesn't just let him get in the suit. Then she basically lays him down on a log in the middle of the woods and lays on top of him, and we have the major role reversal of genders in a seemed like a somewhat simulated sex act. It escalated very quickly into something even more, but in the beginning it was like her final step in taking power, which really kind of enforced the idea, I think, that this character did have some sexual abuse happen to her with that act. Wouldn't you say that kind of cemented at least something sexual happened to her that might have brought her to that point?
I still think it's violent, you know. I don't think sex had anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I tell you why what was great about him killing him once he was in that suit is not only does he get to walk around in the, you know, with the women's you know, with the woman's body, but he right. can see his own blood too, which is not an alien thing for women at all. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
He definitely sees gets the taste anyway. Or,
you know what I mean? Like there's something kind of I felt menstrual about that. I don't know if that might be me, but mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of perfect.
I hadn't thought of it like that, but that makes perfect sense.
What do you think, man? Was that going too far, or was that just right?
You know, in all honesty, that was kind of the impression I got with the imagery you get when that violent of events begins, where he sees his own blood in that, and I'm like, oh, okay, we're kind of going there.
Well,
that,
because it's not the first instance of like vaginal imagery either,
right?
We didn't mention that wonderful little scene there where
Hardy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kate, man, do that one, man.
Go ahead.
This is when I thought, okay, this guy might be okay. He throws her a birthday party that's like. Oh, God. He, like, made a room. He blindfolds her and walks her into this house. And he's like, it's okay. You're going to be fine. Just trust me. And he has it all decorated. And it's all, like, pink and plushy. And then you think, oh, this is going to go somewhere really cool. And then he's talking to her about how she's, like, going to be reborn and everything's going to be great. And then he makes her walk forward and she walks through a door. And it was, like, that she'd like come out of the womb and she's going through the birth canal and then she comes out of the door, which on the other side is a vagina.
Yeah.
And all her friends are there in nurses' outfits and like scrubs.
It was the only point in the film where I kind of felt like maybe he is trying to be a nice guy. And,
I thought it was a satire of what men do in romantic comedies. You know? Do this broad gesture and shit. Think how great they are for thinking of it.
Well, I didn't think that way till now, but now.
That's a good point.
That is a very good point. Of it did.
But I didn't like the guy, so of course I'm.
Well, yeah.
I always appreciate a giant vagina on the screen. Don't get me wrong; like that wasn't the issue.
I appreciate the house being turned into a vagina.
Yeah, that's cool fine.
I was like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's more of just what the grand gesture of the nice guy just makes you want to vomit.
It's overcompensating.
He's overcompensating. Though, yeah, the party, what I liked about the party scene was it was fitting, and you could see her friends trying. The way I felt, at least with her friends, not so much with Guy, but with her friends being there, they were trying to at least show that they understand her a little bit, or that they're at least, you know, trying to connect with her and presenting a party that she'd really be comfortable with that some other folks may not be, even them, if someone threw them a vagina party. You know, but it felt like her friends were there and they were trying to actually show that they are trying at least to relate to her or understand her a bit. And the guy, now that you mentioned it, yeah, that is could be taken as a total satire of the guy's romantic gesture in a rom-com, because that, yeah, that really had a, kind of the way it was directed and everything with the soft red, cushy entrance in the beginning. It did have that kind of feel to it, now that you mentioned it, Andrew.
You know, to me, it's just this movie's version of that. It's you know, but it worked for me.
No, it worked well. I mean, there's a lot of things in this film that a lot of people are going to have a trouble with, and I've seen some of the reviews, and man, I don't know if you guys ever read any of the comments or whatnot, but I do occasionally, and some of the stuff people have said about this film is just sick. It's wrong and sick, and it's like, really? That's what you got out of this movie? You know, what's interesting is the comments almost prove the point that the film's trying to make.
Well, they totally do. I mean, culture. Dudes feel like horror is theirs, mm-hmm. and to a point, usually they still want they still want to be served by what they've seen. You know, they want the women to be the strong female character. You know, even though we don't talk about the strong male character, that's not a term we use. But you know what I mean. So it's like if you want to frighten the horror, the seasoned horror veteran, the hardcore, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to flip them out? This, right here.
Yeah.
This is what you do. Because they've seen everything. They've seen every way you could take a body apart. You know, they've seen all manner of gore and shock and torture and violence. You know, the question is, where do we go to keep this audience on their toes and to change their perception and give them something they've never seen before? I've said before that I think if horror fan, and I'm basically talking to the kind of people that would write those freaking reviews, mm-hmm. if they really got the kind of movies they pretend that they want, they'd lose it. They would hate it. And yeah. they are.
You know, for me, this falls right into the category of a true horror film, in that I always tell people that, you know, there's the entertainment films, and this one, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, is there's entertainment ones, and there's ones that make you think or that portray real horror. I think a good horror film isn't how many times it makes you jump scare, because that's easy. I could get a jump scare out of a comedy. A good horror film should make you feel a bit uncomfortable at times.
It should throw you out of your zone of safety and security, you know, and safety and security is you know, John Carpenter's The Thing and Evil Dead and, you know, all the other ones where, you know, Fright Night or whatever, just the ones that everybody holds so dear and sacred, mm-hmm. you know, and watching them is like eating some mac and cheese. It's a wonderful experience. But is that horror?
Right.
Is that horror? No. Horror is supposed to hit you where you live and where these fuckers live. You know, you can tell a button has been pushed by that right. reaction.
And get under your skin, too, yeah, in a big way.
This is how to do it. Now, you know, the answer is to what do they want to see? Like, what would get under the skin and make them happy? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing you've seen before is going to do that, because you've seen it all before just by very nature. I loved Man Felt so much. It was what I wanted it to be. It's like, for horror, it's that, like, it's what the Fury Road was for action fans, of Felt was for me for horror this year.
And what about you, Kate? Your thought on Felt, we'll wrap it up here. Your final thought of how Felt maybe affected you and when you came out of the film. You know, your final impression of the movie?
I mean, I just loved it mm-hmm. so much. It was really relatable and disturbing, and also it was accurate, and it really, really drew attention to, you know, all the struggles that women go through every day, and to rape culture. And I can only hope that it'll make people who aren't as aware of it or understanding of it more aware of it, more understanding of it, and pay more attention to it, and maybe, you know, do something to change it. Yeah, I thought it was excellent. And Amy Everson is, like, now my hero. So it was wonderful.
Though I did find it interesting that it was directed by a guy, in all honesty. Though I think Amy had a lot of probably input on it. But that caught me just a little bit, that because I didn't look up really anything about the film until after I watched it, because I didn't want to know too much about it. And then I looked it up, and I'm like, the director was a guy. I was fully expecting, in all honesty, a female director for a film like this.
Well, she's more of like an art director kind of person, mm-hmm. you know, like a costume person. I know that she did. I know that she was I know that she was heavily involved in the Lampshades on Fire, the Modest Mouse video that they shot in Athens.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is George Torres, the guy that directed that video, was the editor for Felt, mm-hmm. and he directed this really cool movie called Shadow Zombie that has a very similar feel to Felt, and people that are interested in finding more stuff that's kind of like this, it makes you feel the way this does, where it's almost like, you know, it's just that borderline of documentary, you know, fly on the wall, kind of just, you know, staying with the person, like you said. Shadow Zombie, I highly recommend. It's on Prime right now. And like I said, the guy that edited Phelps, the director of that one, and they worked together on the Lampshades on Fire, which is an awesome video made in Athens, Georgia, starring Natasha Lyonne. Awesome actor.
Okay.
Yeah, a friend of mine that was on the set of the video sent me a picture of herself with Natasha Lyonne on the phone, and I was like, I don't like you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anything to add yet, Andrew, on Felt at all before we close it up here?
Just a big, you know, high five to Amy Everson for putting this, you know, out into the world, going into the world of film. Because, you know, it's like cinema's changing, constantly changing. Some old fart actors that used to be really great will tell you that it's the worst time for film. It's not. It's great. And we need to constantly be pushing the boundaries. And the thing is, you know, to implicitly trust someone to throw you out of everything you're used to, and it's gonna take that. The best thing to do is just the great stuff is not gonna come from the horror geek, the horror nerd, and the seasoned veteran fan, the person that's read all the books and seen all the movies. They're not gonna make the best movie. It's going to be the people who are just given the opportunity to just express themselves, you know, and not be feel an obligation to anything other than their own, you know, getting that shit out there. So, that's a huge applause. I watched it 3 times. I loved it.
And I'll say I enjoyed it, too. I wasn't quite sure what to expect. And I will say it took me out of a bit of my normal comfort zone for a horror film, but I like films like that. I like films that challenge me and get me to think or that strike me or, you know, films that when I'm done hours later, I'm sitting there still thinking about going, man, what about this? And what, you know, where that is and what did that actually mean? And that's why I was glad you guys agreed to talk about it because it is one of those films that's made to make you think. It's not an entertainment horror film. It's a horror film that's supposed to make you think and make you feel uncomfortable a bit and get you to talk and get you to wonder and look at the world a little bit differently because film is an art form in its tried and true area and not everybody's going to like all art and you're not supposed to like all art. But if you can understand some of it, it might give you a better understanding of not only yourself but the world around you and give you a different perspective that you might not see. And if you are violently or just vulgarly threatened by what you have seen, well, then maybe you need to reevaluate and wonder if that's part of the problem. Is the problem you're having with what you're seeing? And you know, if it strikes a chord with you, maybe reevaluate how you see things or approach things or people in that matter. Because gender equality is a big issue now. And even more so in the forefront than it always has been, but it's really coming out. You can really feel some things changing and people expressing their voice, and I think Amy really does a good job here. And that's not us, as one person put it, hipsters talking about its greatness. I am by far not a hipster by any means, but I will say it struck a chord, got me thinking, and I think Felt is a really well-done horror film that those looking for a different film, a film outside of the box, a film that addresses a number of serious issues, but not in a wink, wink, nudge, nudge way. It takes a very serious approach to those issues. You should check out Felt. And I think our other two folks in the room tonight would agree with that. So we're going to wrap it up here real quick. Andrew, why don't you go ahead and just tell our fine listeners real quick where they can find your stuff.
Oh, hey, everybody. My name's Andrew Shearer, and I make movies with my friends. Our Amazon On Demand has several of them. Fake Blood, and Mondo Gonzo, and Pajama Nightmare, and the latest, The Underground Cinema, Cinema with an S. You're going to have to turn off your filters on Amazon to see it, because it's been categorized as unrated rather than not rated, which wow. Puts me in the category of, I guess, pornography. Yeah, that really sucks.
Wow.
At first they rated it NC-17 and I appealed it, and so, and there's watch it, man. I mean, it's, if you like Russ Meyer, Ed Wood, William Castle, stuff like that. I mean, it's harmless fun, ladies and gentlemen. And also www.gonzorific.com is where you can buy DVDs of this stuff, a lot of stuff that is not available on Amazon on demand. You get commentaries, extra short films, all this neat little stuff, and it's all made in Athens, Georgia by a bunch of weirdos. That's all I can tell you.
Excellent. And Kate, how about you? Why don't you let people know where they can find you at?
You can find me on my website. It's onlyamovieblog.com, gorillafilmonline.com, screened.com/glitchesgood, and the Cinemafile podcast. Andrew and I do a monthly series called Cult Core, and it's very fun.
Yeah, man. Our first episode was about Last House on the Left.
Yeah, it was.
The most recent about kids, the 20th anniversary.
It is definitely an excellent podcast that if you're into hearing about really excellent discussions on cult films, you should definitely check out Cult Core as well as all their other material that these lovely folks have mentioned this evening. And if you're interested in my stuff as well, go to specialmarkproductions.com. We've got all our old spoiler rooms, our new ones. We keep you up to date. You got reviews when I post them, stuff I do for We Love Film, and my other stuff as well if you're interested. But definitely check out Andrew and Kate's site as well as the links for our friends of Special Mark Productions for everyone else who has been in the spoiler room. I appreciate everybody for listening in. Thank you so much, Kate and Andrew, for talking with me tonight on this unique indie film. And I hope you've enjoyed this, give you some food for thought, and maybe even helped you decide on going out and seeking out and watching Felt. I really recommend that film. I hope we didn't spoil it too much for you here, because here in the spoiler room we do spoil the movies, but our conversation is always fresh.